Orthodox educators who think of themselves as centrist educators, who will be found in all kinds of settings, that is, in schools, in agencies, informal adult education, but who work together because they are aligned by common principles, ideological principles, Lahagdil Torah Lahadira. The evening is co-sponsored by the Torah Education Network, which is an agency, an organization established by Yeshiva University and the World Zionist Organization Torah Department, which relates to schools also of the centrist type. The difference between the two organizations being that one, the Educators Council, relates to the professionals in the field, and the Torah Education Network relates to schools and communities. The Torah Education Department, which is an important component in this equation, is part of, as I said, the World Zionist Organization, and is the effort by Medinat Yisrael to help Chinuch in the Gola, and it's their New York office with which we cooperate and which is a sponsor this evening. This evening is both an educational evening that is meant for educators. It's how to approach the issue of Ahavat Yisrael, but it also has a general cast to it, the topic, and it was felt that it would be of importance and significance for the public at large. All of us are seeking guidelines and direction for this important topic, which is a very, shall we say, serious one at the present time, and a painful one, one might say. And that is really the motive, the painful part of it, that suggested this topic to the committee that organized this evening. The demonstrations for Shabbat observance and the reports of police brutality, the rising decibel level of friction and tension between the Chiloni and the Dati community in Israel, and the friction here in the United States between the various ideological groupings, this is part of the background that motivated us to seek and turn to Reb Aharon for direction, for guidance, for some illumination. Of course, the topic of friction in the Jewish community has attained an entirely different cast in the intervening months since this topic was set down. The political aspect of it is a very painful one. When the Secretary of State of the United States has to shuttle from one end of Jerusalem to another end or within a few blocks in order to speak to two different Jewish leaders about a peace plan, whether or not the peace plan is any good doesn't matter, but when he has to do that, you realize that the differences in Medinat Yisrael and among Jews is one that is almost embarrassing, that is hurtful and painful. We're not dealing with the question of the political differences in this evening, at least that wasn't part of the topic, but perhaps both topics, the differences and the sharpness of the differences, is the kind of thing that motivated our request for illumination on this topic. As I said, we're not asking Reb Aharon to give us solutions to problems, to the issues that face us, that confront us, but rather for guidelines in his own inimitable way. I'd also like to suggest that we may not have thought about it, but it turns out that this week is a very good one for dealing with this kind of topic. In a sense, this is the end of a year because Rosh Chodesh Nisan starts a new year for the Jewish people, traditionally, Rosh Hashanah Limlachim. Sovereignty, Jewish sovereignty, always begins with Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And how do we spend the last Shabbos of the old year? We spend it by reading Parashat Para, which deals with Tara, with cleanliness. And I would take it to mean also, and I'm sure Balei Musar, although I haven't seen this directly, would probably make note of this, that Tara refers not only to ritual cleanliness, but probably to moral cleanliness, and to removing those kinds of pains and sores which afflict Klal Yisrael. And divisiveness is one of those that we seek a kind of remedy for and for which we seek Tara. And so in that sense, this being the last week of a certain type of year, is a very appropriate one for seeking some enhancement of Avat Yisrael, of tolerance and understanding, which will remove that sore of Sinat Yisrael, which we certainly don't need and don't want. It's my pleasure to introduce to you the person who will be introducing Reb Aaron, a charter member of our organization, Rabbi Billy Altshul, William Altshul, Zev Altshul, who is a musmach of Yeshiva University. Three names? I'm sorry. I know him in so many ways intimately. I just wanted to be sure I didn't miss any one of the proper ways of mentioning him to you. He is a musmach of Yeshiva University, was a Talmud of Reb Aaron. He is now the principal, the headmaster, I should say, of the Hebrew Academy of Greater Washington. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Rabbi Altshul. He is a regional vice president of the Educators Council of America.
Thank you, Rabbi Schneidman. The Yerushalmi in Erevin states that Kol HaMakabel Pnei Rabo, Kilu Makabel Pnei Ashchina, and for that reason alone I had planned to come to Yeshiva today to hear my Rebbe Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, to learn from him and perhaps to talk with him a little, circumstances permitting. When offered the honor of introducing him this evening, I was extremely excited. How does one introduce one's Rebbe? The Gemara of Ozora states that Lo koy inish adato de rabbi arboin shnin, and I have just over 2 years to go. According to Tosus and Soto, who counts to 40 years not from birth, but from when one begins to learn, I may have a little longer. Permit me then, if I cannot fully describe to you Dato de Rabbe and its impact on all of us, to share with you a vignette, a side of our Rebbe that I suspect some of our younger colleagues may not be as familiar with as some of us who are in our late 30s and 40s. For I am one of perhaps hundreds of Talmidim who studied with Rebbe in this yeshiva when he said a shir in the yeshiva and served as Rosh Kola during the 60s until his aliyah in 1971. Many things made Rebbe Shurim unique, and still do. But there was something very special about Sunday mornings. After a somewhat abbreviated regular shir, Sunday mornings were set aside for Ashkafa. For Rebbe recognized that it was not enough to simply make us into Lamdanim, or attempt to do so, but realized that in order to make us Talmidim into true B'nai Torah, we would have to come to grips with the essential issues of Emunah and Hashkafa that confront us daily. He had to prepare us and help us prepare ourselves for the intellectual challenges that would confront us. In order to do so, Rebbe knew that we had to develop a Hashkafa that was the product of a serious review of the relevant Makoros, Tanakh, Gemara, Midrashei Chazal, Rishonim, Achronim, as well as contemporary thinkers. Moreover, by his example and by copious citations, he also constantly reminded us that Yesh Chochma Bagoyim, and that we must be familiar with the intellectual currents of Western civilization if we were to be a part of modern society and contribute to it at any level. As I recall, on those Sunday mornings, Rebbe was always exceedingly well prepared, thorough, methodical, and some of his ideas were and still are controversial. For most of us, though, those Sunday morning Hashkafa Shiurim were the most significant introduction to Machshevet Yisrael and critical thinking we would ever have. As Rav Meir states in the Yerushalmi on the Mishnah Baba Metzia, Eizahu Rabo Shelimdo Chachma Kol Shepasach Lo Tchila. Rebbe, you opened up our eyes to the wide and stimulating world of Machshevet Yisrael, and for that we will always be in your debt. And for me, this shiur is in a certain sense, an extension of those Sunday morning shiurim. On Sunday the 5th of Adar, 5729, some 19 years ago, Rebbe spoke on a topic which he called the ethics of vocational choice. He discussed with us the critical shortage of personnel in all areas of Jewish communal life, in Chinuch, in the Rabbanus, in Chachmas Yisrael, and urged us to make these professions a priority as we planned our young lives. At the time I was a sophomore, as are most of us in this year, and only 18 years old. But now as I look back, I wish I could find a list of the young men who were present in Shiur on that Sunday. For without mentioning names, many of us heeded his call, or at the very least were inspired by it. We constitute a long and distinguished list of Rabbanim and Mechanchim, of social workers and communal workers, psychologists, and a host of others, both here and in Eretz Yisrael, all working for the good of Klal Yisrael. Indeed, Rebbe, you can say, as did Rabbi Chanina when he saw the attention of Rabbi Yochanan and his Talmud attracted while saying a shir, Brich Rachmana Dechami Lipuri on Adana Bachayim. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant you fruitful and healthy years so that you can continue to guide your Talmidim both here and in Eretz Yisrael in Inyani Halacha and Hashkafa, and help us clarify the serious issues that beset us on both sides of the ocean. As the Sifri comments on the Pasuk in Mishle, Shisei Mayim Ibarecha V'Nozlim Mitoch Be'erecha Yafutsu Ma'inosecha Chutza Barchavos Palge Moyim. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Harehu Omer Shisei Mayim Ibarecha Bar Tchiloso Ein Yachol Ahotziti Pasmai Me'elav V'Ein Bo Elamasha Nasun B'Socho. Kach Talmidei Chachamim, B'Tchiloso Lo Lamad V'Lo Shana Elamasha Limed Lo Rabo. V'noz limitoch be'erecha, ma be'er, menazeles mayim chayim mikol tzadeha, kach ba'im talmidim v'lomdim hemenu, v'chein hu amer, yafutsu ma'inosecha chutza. Mikol tzadeha, on both sides of the ocean, we come to hear you and learn from you. I am now honored to present to you Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Rosh Yeshivat Har Etzion, Educational Director of the Gross Institute in Yerushalayim, to address the topic, Ahavas Yisrael, attitudes and behavior towards people with whom we differ. Rebbe.
Thank you very much for really a very charitable introduction, and beyond the charitable words, of course, primarily the thought that indeed something that may have been said some years back had a significant impact upon the lives of Talmidim. This is ultimately the greatest source of gratification, satisfaction to those of us who are in the field of chinuch, and I'm indeed pleased to hear that you felt that was indeed the case. This is now the third year running that I'm addressing a gathering of the ECA, and this year, unlike the last 2 years, I did not come specially early in the fall, but have combined this lecture, or have integrated, I should say, into my regular annual visit on the business of Yeshivat Har Etzion. So that in that way, neither the ECA nor myself needs to be bound by a feeling of chazok in any kind of future mutual obligation. But be that as it may, I suppose that in my own mind, this talk invites some kind of comparison with those that were given you the last 2 years. And in one respect, I think it differs perceptively. You know, the last 2 years, I addressed myself to questions which were essentially theoretical issues with pragmatic ramifications. Questions of attitude to general culture in particular. This evening's discourse, at least as it was presented to me in writing from Mordechai's introductory remarks, it got a slightly different tinge. This evening's discourse is to deal with specific and highly practical matters, but to be dealt with in the light of certain theoretical insights and perspectives. The problem at hand, such as it was outlined, includes communal and personal dilemmas, to which I shall allude somewhat, but as befitting both my own daily preoccupation and the nature of this particular forum, I should strive to focus primarily upon aspects of clear educational significance. The subtitle suggested to me from my talk this evening, Attitudes and Behavior Towards People With Whom We Differ, is relevant to any person. And the title as a whole, that is the above prefaced, Ba'avas Yisrael, to any Jew. Nevertheless, the subject has particular relevance for an organization and presumably an audience which regards itself, as Amotre defined it previously, as fundamentally centrist. And this for two reasons. First, unlike adherents of polarized positions, centrists differ with adversaries on two fronts, right and left. Second, for them, the issue is not confined to the relation of centrism to rival camps, but impinges in addition upon the very fiber of centrism itself. Recognition of a rival's legitimacy on the part of an extremist, when rarely encountered, and Alachas Kama V'Chama, readiness to cooperate with him, presumably reflects a genuine liberal attitude, and among Jews, true, profound, Avas Yisrael. With respect to a centrist, however, it may simply indicate the lack of passionate conviction and the fact that either his Weltanschauung, his commitment to it, and perhaps both, are fuzzy and fudging. In his case, it may be asked, and he should be the first to ask, whether a compassionate relation to ideological opponents is grounded in true Ahavas Yisrael, capable of transcending difference and controversy, or simply in the fact that the position held is not a comprehensive, tensile, and possibly dialectic balance, but at best, a kind of tepid compromise. For the centrist, then, the nature of his relation to others is not only a matter of is a matter of personal spiritual integrity as well, and it should be approached as such. Our topic, as formulated, admits, I think, of two treatments. We could approach it first as an exercise in Hilches Ahavas Yisrael, as an attempt to clarify both its standing and its scope at both a halachic and axiological level. Here we need to ask ourselves, as we might with respect to Hilches Basar B'Cholov or Na'as Dvarim, what are the parameters of the mitzvah, to whom, either as mitzuvim or as those to whom the mitzvah applies, the objects of the mitzvah, to whom and under what circumstances does it apply, and what is its relative weight vis-a-vis other mitzvahs? Second, we may attempt to see the broader picture of our relationship to others and to gauge, within a more comprehensive context, how much weight is or should be assigned to Ahavas Yisrael, to what extent attitudes and decisions are and should be determined by other factors, either because Ahavas Yisrael is not applicable or because it is outweighed by other considerations, and of course to clarify what those other elements may be and what is to be the relation between them. We shall be attempting both. But one fundamental and perhaps obvious point needs to be stressed at the outset. The point of departure for any intelligent discussion of our topic is the clear recognition that it must be conducted with an eye to several crucial variables. I cannot simply speak of difference without taking into account its substantive content, intensity, and scope. Its personal, sociological origins, and presumed motivation. As well, of course, as the projected impact, particularly insofar as behavior is concerned, but to an extent with respect to attitudes as well, of possible modes of response. With regard to so complex a matter, to speak with sweeping categorical dogmatism is both morally and halakhically irresponsible. Taking my cue from this assertion, I begin my analysis proper by taking issue, with Lamartre's permission, with the formulation of the topic in the letter of invitation I received to deliver this address. The letter suggested the title, and that amplified by spelling out specific concerns. And I quote, Avat Yisrael, teaching attitudes and behavior towards those with whom we differ. The issue requiring clarification is the one of relationships to those on the left or right. Are these to be relationships of tolerance, interaction, or distance? How do we relate to conservative and reform rabbis? Do we address them by the title of rabbi? Do we sit with them on joint committees? How about a layperson who eats at McDonald's? What are some guidelines for interaction? What do we teach about interrelationships in the case of intermarriage, e.g., and by marriage is a goy? On the other hand, what about our relationships to those who enter our synagogues for tzedakah but would not say kedusha with us? To those who demonstrate against Paris or Shamir in the center of Manhattan. I said I want to take issue with the formulation because I find the amalgamation of right and left in this context and the implication, therefore, that the primary issue confronting us this evening is the theory and practice of tolerance or Avas Yisrael in general. I find this implication surprising to say the least. In both theory and fact, our differences vis-a-vis right and left are and should be radically distinct. With the former, we share in broad outline a common vision with regard to the central issues of Malchus de Rekia, a shared perception both of what is the Ribbono Shel Olam is Melech Olam, man in general and Knesset Yisrael in particular as invested with spiritual being and normatively impelled to fulfill Torah mitzvahs. And a shared vision not only of what is, but of what should and shall be. The grand eschatological vision of the redemption in man and history with the fulfillment of the great nevuahs, those parallel nevuahs in Yeshayahu and in Micha. We daven with them. Same conclusion to Aleinu. The grand vision that is there spelled forth in great detail. We adhere with them to the same dogmatic catechism, if you will, of Yud Gimel Ikrei. We differ primarily to what in a sense might be described as Malchus Hadare, more of a culture in the broad sociological sense of the term than over religion, with respect to how at the present or in the future that grand ideal is to be implemented and how its contours are to be limited. But the ideal itself is a shared patrimony. With respect to the left, the situation is generally reversed. There is much common ground as regards Malchus Hadare, shared culture, similar modes of dress, thought, expression, analogous socio-political or socio-economic orders, but drastically divergent perceptions of Malchus Derikia. Radically so, of course, at the extremities of the left, outright secularism, but by and large, significantly so, although different measure, with respect to the reform and conservative movements as well, insofar as they deny the central pillar of Yahadus, Torah Min HaShemayim. Alternatively stated, we may differ from the right more, but differ with it, in the sense of controversy, less. The reverse is, I believe, true of the left. Hence, even one who may regard centrism as the ideal option could hardly view the other two positions as equally acceptable or equally repugnant alternatives. Discussion which one occasionally hears in Tnuot Noar, religious Tnuot Noar in Eretz Yisrael, as to whether it's better to be a tayas or a tankist chiloni, or to a tkalta koilnik, reflects nothing more than a kind of juvenile or pubescent nationalistic effervescence. A mature Torah outlook could hardly begin to countenance such a question. In practice, of course, we often find it easier to find a common language with the Chiloniim than with the so-called Charedim. And in practice, they often give us much less of a hard time than our cohorts on the right. But this fact, painful as it is, should not obscure the basic distinction. Of course, I'm greatly oversimplifying. The planes of Malchus Hadare, Malchus Derikia, the difference from, the difference with, these still interact. And much machlokes of Malchus Hadare certainly reflects very different perceptions of the nature of Malchus Derikia. Nevertheless, I think that as a broad generalization, the distinction is both clear and cogent. Hence, as educators, our teaching of responses to right and left respectively can hardly be identical. Whatever the right may think of us, our view of it should be clear. Given our pluralistic perception, and pluralism up to a point is crucial, crucial to centrism. Given our pluralistic perception that within certain limits, which the right, insofar as it's simply the right as an ideology, as a movement, as a community, within certain limits which the right as such surely does not generally exceed, our position is Eilu ve'eilu, divrei Elokim chai, shivim panim la'Torah. This means not only shivim panim of interpreting it, but shivim panim of experiencing, living, implementing, disseminating it. And as such, we certainly recognize and should recognize the orientation of the right as a legitimate mode, personally and communally, of Avedis Hashem. And one which, moreover, has been through the enthusiastic sanction of Rav Minyan, Rav Binyan, of Gedolei Torah today, not to mention the weight of much past tradition. Nor shall we let our legitimate, passionate concern with major contemporary issues blind us on this point. Let me read to you briefly a paragraph from a well-known address delivered some 20 years ago. Kvalamara tziyanu ki lechapateinu letzareinu chelek me'atzibur shelanu, meaning the religious community, chelek nikar me'atzibur shelanu enenu ma'amin b'maseh Hashem aniglim lanu. Okay. כדאי לומר פעם אחת דברים ברורים ולא להיות פוסחים על שתי הסעיפים. חוסר אמונה יש כאן, כפירה המתלבשת בלבוש של חרדיות וצדקות, כופרים הקוראים לאחרים בשם זה, וכל הפוסל במומו פוסל. זוהי כפירה בתורה שבכתב, בדברי נביאינו, ובתורה שבעל פה, שביארו לנו מהו הקצב מגולה בשעה שארץ ישראל נותנת פרייה בעין יפה ובשפע. כיצד מעיזים הם פניהם ומתחצפים נגד גדולי ישראל? האם היה רב אליהו גוטמך רמאי חס ושלום? אמר מי שאמר כי טיפש הוא מי שחושב זוהי התחלת הגאולה. האם רשוע מקוטנה היה טיפש? כפירה זו במעשה השם ובחסדיו עמנו, המתלבשת בלבוש של צדקות מרושעת, כי היא המעכבת את דבר השם מלבוא ומלהתגלות בעולם. That paragraph quoted from a celebrated address by Tzvi Yehuda Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and a great tzaddik he certainly was, delivered very shortly prior to the Six-Day War, is an excellent expression of the kind of position in which I categorically reject. This labeling, for reasons which maybe inherently positive, out of a passionate commitment to Zionism in its deepest, most spiritual, most theoretical sense. But this labeling of those who reject its message and its canon, those who are blind from our point of view to a central overriding reality of the contemporary scene, the labeling of those as kofri, to speak of tzidkut merushat, this for one thing serves no constructive purpose. It narrows our own vision, our own perceptions, It does little to enhance a sense of unity, at least within the Torah community. And apart from that, I think it is simply factually incorrect. So be our commitment to things which are near, dear, crucial, and critical to us, what it may be. Certainly that should not be the yardstick as to whether those who disagree with us on some of these issues, and to us in Eretz Yisrael particularly, they are very important, as to whether they represent a legitimate strain of Avedas Hashem and Emunas Yisrael. Hence, if we speak of or to the right, the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael, in its fullest sense, clearly encompasses, as far as we are concerned, its votaries. And we need to educate our students and ourselves to relate to that community through V'ahavta l'racha kamocha. And this, of course, with the weight, the full weight, which we need to give, but unfortunately rarely do, to Avas Yisrael in general. Not merely as one mitzvah amongst many, but as Rabbi Akiva's Klal Gadol Batayra, as the linchpin of all Avedas Hashem, as set forth in the first perek of that great Sefer Yesod V'Shorash HaAvedah. We need to teach our students to regard the wearers of kapot and a kapelush as neither a freak nor a relic, but as a person who is part of our common living present, as a partner in our collective national enterprise, as a brother to be treated with affection and genuine respect. Moreover, a positive relation to our brethren on the right is not just a matter of altruistic Avas Yisrael. It entails, I believe, a measure of enlightened self-interest as well. For there is much which centers individually and collectively can learn from them. I know full well that there is a good deal which, at least in some sectors of the right, we deplore morally, culturally, ideologically, and I dare say halachically. But at the same time, we should recognize that that community often embodies the virtues of its defects, the passion allied to narrowness, the intensity grounded in insularity. There's a great deal of that world with which we can identify, from which we can learn. Much to be admired, a good deal to be envied. Zihirus, Zrizus, with respect to many mitzvahs. Mesirus Nefesh, in the area of Chinuch. Depth of commitment to the centrality, to the totality, to the hegemony of Torah. We the centrists, we much the worse off if that world were chas v'sholem to disappear. And those of our Talmidim who have antiseptically had no contact with that world are undoubtedly the poorer for that distance. Nor should we link in any way our relationship to that community to the notion of reciprocity. I know they are intolerant, very intolerant, terribly intolerant. It's one of the great faults. But if we have genuine Avas Yisrael, we should be able to be tolerant of others' intolerance. I presume that my acquaintances in that world regard me with a jaundiced eye. But on their turf, I neither feel nor wish my Talmidim to feel as a tourist. Of course, being at home on that turf is much easier for Lomdim. Brisk of all persuasions can have, as I have, a kind of silent compact with the Revolver side of the family, simply not to discuss certain topics and to rally around the common flag of Reb Chaim's Torah. But nevertheless, the fundamental direction should be encouraged for all. Now I know that the course that I'm advocating is not easy. We swallow from our friends on the right a great deal of garbage. Or as they put it in Eretz Yisrael, Ochlim Arbei Kash. And some of the kash is very hard. Some of them are often patronizing, condescending, supercilious, at times arrogant and aggressive. And above all, as I said before, they're most intolerant of centrists. I suppose that almost anyone here, certainly the older members, has his own set of horror stories in this connection. If I can mention only one, I recall, while still in this country, having been invited, I think it was in 1966, to a convention of the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations in Washington, which dealt with a theme which then is now is close to my heart, namely unity within the Orthodox community. And inasmuch as the theme was near and dear to me, I gladly accepted the invitation to speak. And upon coming there, discovered that four people had been invited. Two presumably representing, as it were, the centrist, or the modern Orthodox, whatever you want to call it, side of the discussion. Two affiliated with, let us say, the Agudas Rabbanim, in one way or the other. And at this convention, dedicated to the theme of unity in Jewish life, in Orthodox Jewish life, a leading Rosh Yeshiva said that he had to speak first because he had to catch a train. And he spoke first, and it became readily apparent just why. At this gathering, spoke for close to three quarters of an hour, and the central theme
Shapiro and the former Kishon Lizion, Reb Avrom Chaim so we signed like this. We are very upset by the terrible awful policy of the State of Israel by the concessions to Yom Tov, the Prime Minister, to the Palestinians. It is contrary to Torah, repugnant to Torah. The Torah said, "Nesatir cho eres merosho la'chuz ha'selom," and the Ramban says, when it says la'chuz ha'selom as a heritage in perpetuity, means that no one in the world, not even the United Nations, not even President Clinton, not even the whole Jewish nation, if it's submitted to the pleasantries, will say, yes, we have to make concessions, because we need peace. Of course we need peace, but the fact is that peace is the other way, by not allowing even one iota, one inch of Eretz Yisrael, and of Eretz, and Galon Heights, and Hebron, and Shem, as far as other is concerned. Unfortunately, it was too late, because even Dr. Chaim Weizmann broke off from the Balfour Declaration, and Jabotinsky, Olav HaSholem, who always declared our snake days Hayavim, so at first he agreed, then he regretted it, but it was too late, so he had to wait for B'ez HaMashiach, but as far as Balon Heights and Yerushalayim Atika, Yerushalayim Hadasha, we cannot give any way, and no power in the world can do it. Okay. Then I received a telephone call from a certain individual. He introduced himself as Dr. Faxman, the chairman of the Anti-Defamation League, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. Everybody says you are a big Talmudic scholar. I cannot make any comments on it, but I know one thing, you are very narrow-minded. You only believe in one religion, ultra-Orthodox Judaism. How about Reform Judaism? How about Conservative Judaism? How about Christianity? How about Mohammedanism? They don't exist. I don't want to agree with such a view. So I said, Dr. Faxman, I never met you, but I can tell you that you are narrow-minded, because Kol HaPesel V'Mumi Pesel, as our sages say, the Constitution of the United States grants freedom of speech even to a wicked, vicious person like Farrakhan Yimach Shmei, and Aaron Soloveitchik, even he had been an ignoramus in everything, in Torah and worldly wisdom, is inferior to him. Get away from me. I don't want to go anymore.
This you won't read in the Jewish week. Yes, go ahead.
What would be the halacha by if after you say Tefillah Balacha, Shemoneh Esrei, and before Chazaras Hashatz, would you be allowed to talk in Divrei Torah?
No. Until you say Tachnun, let's say this Thursday morning you'll be allowed, because there is no Tachnun. There is Hallel and Musa. But in an ordinary week where there is no Hallel or Musa, according to Morim Bavutsiye about Rebbeleza Parshimen, so then you are not allowed to say Tachnun. Yes.
Allowed to buy stocks in cigarettes, for example? Would you be allowed because cigarettes?
No. It's a bad evil, because it's conducive to cancer of the lungs. So he's able on the summit of Damriyahu.
He's talking about making a person has money. Let's say they have $1,000 and they want to buy, on the stock exchange, shares in a company. He's not selling the cigarettes. He's making an investment in a company that sells cigarettes.
But they sell many other things.
They sell food, they sell other things.
It's all right.
The halacha is that when a girl or a boy is under bar bat mitzvah, they cannot...
He wants to know if a boy is not bar mitzvah, he's 12 years old, or a girl is only 10 years old.
He can get mafta.
No, he wants to know, can they make a kinyan?
Right, but just...
The rabbanon can make a kinyan. Because the Chachamim are mistaken, the kinyan suda, in order to expedite industry. Otherwise, you won't be able to expedite industry. And the Jewish nation will be a poor nation.
The kinyan is cases where, like, when a person is born, you get some, let's say, 12 years later, you'll get $25.
Very fine. $25. When I became a Mitzvah, many people donated Israeli bonds, and then there was interest. And when I got married, I had already $10,000 to my account. Big sum of money in those days. Here I get $10,000 a year.
What was the question?
Because they received the bond when you were under Bar Bat Mitzvah.
Yes.
So even when they were under 30 days old by his birth. So later on in his life, he's getting the money.
Yes, fine. Nothing wrong.
Would having a kumzitz around the bonfire and singing, would that be considered Darkei Amori?
There's a Tosefta.
No, he's preaching, but not a result. So of course, it should be avoided, but not a result.
Shabbos. Okay.
And the last time I had the privilege to partake in the shiur, the Rosh Yeshiva.
You are not allowed to help Germany, which still is controlled by many Nazis who would be willing to exterminate more Jews. It's not enough for them that 7 million innocent men, women and children were exterminated, but to exterminate another 5 million, you're not allowed to be an accomplice to such a wicked intent.
Does this also apply if the companies are in the United States and are owned by a person who's not...
Does he have the same ideology as the Germans?
No, sir,
I don't see anything wrong.
His question before was a Tosefta about Darkei Amori, when it says...
The one is based on superstition. No, this is not based on...
It says, Merakei L'shol Heves, B'tapeh L'shol Heves.
That's based exclusively on superstition, but this is not based on superstition.
So if someone's singing around the fire...
Okay, so it's preaches, but not Darkei Amori. Like rock and roll music, Wagnerian music.
When we learn secular studies, are we learning it for the ends that we could, by learning secular studies in the world, we can
The ideal thing would be to learn it and to study it in order to improve the world, to make the world a better world, and to be able to pave the way for the Messianic era when the Jewish people will extend their influence even upon the Umisailom to abolish the awful fact of the Zeiv in Teves. So the Zeiv is a Palestinian terrorist, Arafat terrorist, Hamas terrorist, Iraqi terrorist. So maybe it will be a better world where the Teves was symbolic of the Jewish nation. So like a dog, every summer after Shavuos B'Tammuz, I go to Israel and I daven every day at the Kotel. I don't see any animals, I don't see any camels, only very, very rarely. So I made my imagination, it's already the Messianic era, because they even Keves, but unfortunately, because of the faults and the crimes by the secular Jews, and even the faults and the sins of the ultra and Torekarte, so the Bias HaMashiach has not arrived. The Malbim in his Pirush HaNetilim predicted the end of the Gores, and he said it will be in Tovshin Veis, and then in Tovshin Chovveis, so Moshiach will come, but unfortunately it did not come because of our sins. So let's hope that we'll be zeche to the Bias HaMashiach, the Meir of Yomeinu, Omen Salah.
What is the recent scientific breakthroughs?
What?
Recently there's been certain scientific breakthroughs that have placebo effect, where they...
He's asking certain, when they test drugs, sometimes a drug has a placebo effect.
Yes.
Okay.
First, is a doctor allowed to tell a patient he is getting medication?
And it's not shakone to his life?
Just that he should get some psychological effect.
Is it real medication or not?
But the psychological
it's not medication.
Effect.
Can a doctor give a person a sugar pill, a placebo,
yeah,
and tell him this is medicine, even though it's really not medicine? But he's hoping maybe it'll make him feel better, placebo. But he's really not, it's not MS.
Okay, I don't see anything wrong. Okay.
And
I don't see anything wrong. To me,
it's
okay.
Is it okay for a doctor to tell somebody that he's getting medication, which is, has some mystical power, which they found that more...
If he believes in that, yes.
No,
so then it has an effect.
No, but he can tell him it's not a scientific effect. It's like a mystical power.
So what?
Yeah, that's
as
okay.
Long as it heals, it doesn't make any difference. Even if I could die, if it heals, it's okay. Yeah.
What is the
euthanasia. Euthanasia was like mercy killing. They have Kevorkian.
That's a tziche. Active euthanasia is certainly a tziche. It's chayav misa b'yorom. But if passive euthanasia, so you say the only summit of Amoyach. And that is Shefa Domin, the Rambam says.
What would be the halachic standpoint of bombing Iraq?
He says, what would be the Torah view on bombing Iraq, whether we should bomb Iraq or not bomb Iraq?
I think we should. Because the United States will be forced to help us.
If two parents have a ger katan, and there's no way that the ger katan would find out that he is a ger katan, do the parents have an achrayus to tell him that he's a ger katan?
No,
when he
doesn't have to. You don't have to, because if he knows, he'll become depressed and will not be able to galvanize his intellectual and emotional capacity. If you don't tell him, he thinks he is the son of the adopting parents, he'll be inclined to galvanize his intellectual and moral emotional capacity to the utmost.
You have a specific situation, the minion, you're damning the minion that will miss Man Kriya Shema by a very little bit.
So you should dam be a chiddush and then wait for the minion.
But it'll be done by missing it by
so what?
A few minutes. So could you say Shema ahead of the minion?
I do it many times.
And then dam slowly?
If the minion starts 9 o'clock, and it's already after Zman Krishme. So I daven early, and then I wait until the minyan comes, and then I say Dushe, and they say Ashrei, and Tachnun, and Vurtzien, and Oreinu, and everything, the Yom, nothing wrong.
But could you daven so, if it's so such a short amount of time, that you can daven slowly from Shema Krishna Esrei.
No, you have to start from Baruch Shema. From Baruch Shema you have to start.
And he wants to know if you could say Zman Kriya Shema is 9 o'clock and the minyan starts at 8:45. So can he say Kriya Shema by himself and then daven with the tzibur?
Yeah, that's okay.
You could do that also.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Should you like daven ahead to Kriya Shema and say Kriya Shema, or should you like skip and go back?
Start Bo Shema, and then say Hidu, and then say Yechleid, and then say Ashrei, and all the Pesukim de Zimre until Yishtabach, and then wait for the Chas. So be able to answer the Bo Shema.
Saying if you need to say Shema, otherwise you'll miss it,
you
Kriya Shema, then go back, or you say Kriya Shema
where
you're up to, and then
no, you start from Baruch Shema. First you say Shema,
okay, and then
you stay at Baruch Shema, and all the Pesukim.
Okay.
the Rav said that you shouldn't buy Mercedes cars.
He said, you mentioned last time you shouldn't buy a Mercedes because it was made by the Germans. Yeah. He said the American company Ford Motor Company, Henry Ford was also an anti-Semite.
Yeah, that's right.
So he said, so today you shouldn't buy. You wouldn't buy Ford. Yes.
But you said about not buying any car.
What? That is manufactured by Hussein Israel. I don't know which manufacturer is not the Hussein Israel. That I don't know.
Okay. So it depends, you have to study whether they...
But the thing is that every car company now uses the assembly line, so
we'd be able to buy any car. That's what Rav Soloveitchik is saying. You have to investigate whether the company that's making the cars today, wherever they're making it, is anti-Jewish, anti-Israel. If they are, then you shouldn't buy it. Okay? Yeah, all right.
Regards the issue of Gerkatan,
Gerkatan.
The explanation, is that according to the Shitas that hold that Gerkatan, when it comes on this stuff,
in other words, if you said before you don't have to tell the Ger Katan, he says, what about the Shitos that say...
Because it's my impression.
Right.
So, but what, reduce his IQ and MQ to the minimum.
Yeah. So, but what about Shitos that say that you do tell the Ger Katan because he needs Kabbalah Mitzvot? What about the Shitos that say the Ger Katan needs Kabbalah Mitzvot?
Well, if he's a Ger Katan, so the father can be the Kabbalah Mitzvot. If he has no father, and Ime, who has actual custody, not legal custody, so then she is mekabel the mitzvah for him.
And when he's by mitzvah, he doesn't have to be mekabel again?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you allowed, you said that if in English?
Why not? If he doesn't know Loshna Kedesh, so he can say it in English. You know, my father, when I was Rabbi Chaslavitch, was asked by certain Russian soldiers who were mobilized at the age of 13 by force, but to remain Jewish, and they weren't Michal Shabbos, they didn't do anything. They couldn't speak Loshna Kedesh. He couldn't even read Loshna Kedesh. So they asked whether they can recite the Birka Shema, English and Kiddush, and all the brachas of Shemone Esrei. So my father said, in regard to Pesukei de Zimre and Ishtabach and Shemone Esrei, so they can, because the Gemara says in brachas, Miyomin, he was a cotton, the Ochel Rifte, he ate pas, Roma, Brich Rachmone, Mored Al Mekule, Mored Al Pite, Mored Al Mekule is only a kinu and still was Yeitze. But in regard to Kriya Shema, he should say, Shema, here, or not Yisrael, but Yisrael, Adishem, Elikoi is our God, and Adishem Achod, but when he says in the real Shema of Adne or of Shemavaye, then he has to pronounce it Dafke in Russian Kiddush.
Would one be allowed to move out to area that had no Judaism whatsoever?
In Eretz Yisrael?
No, let's say in the middle of Arizona. Right, would one be allowed?
What for?
To try to bring other Jews to the
sure. What?
To
make Jews who live there.
To influence.
Influence. Let's say there's people that aren't religious, and
that's
you want to move to Nebraska. You'll be the only from person.
Big mitzvah. Big
mitzvah. But you want access to many, like a minyan. Or
but he won't have a minyan.
To what? So he won't have a minyan. So what? Chateik is Yishke Chaveik.
Yeah.
The Rosh Hashiva shared an opinion before on
Konek. Lung cancer.
Let's say there's a case of there's also some kind of a drug which is also like almost like smoking.
Often,
people use morphine.
No, you shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
In Germany,
a taxi.
I told you no.
Okay. Yeah.
Technically, Japanese cars to go to Japan and help them in the war effort. Japan completely backed Germany, so we'd be allowed to buy Japanese cars to help Germany.
I'll tell you what, we'll discuss later. Rav Soloveitchik is not passing on what make and model you should buy. He's just saying the general rule is that you have to check. We all have to check it.
Yeah,
whether the
car.
I know, but the question is today.
Yeah.
Question. Okay. You know what I mean? He said even a German car today, a German company today, if they're no longer espousing Nazi ideology, so
it's okay.
It'd be mutter under those circumstances. Yes.
Is there a co-issue about a single unit from China?
No, the Rabbi Chaim Weinberg is matter, because the isha of Kol B'isha is only when he's mischaving to be nene in an erratic way, not when he's mischaving to be nene from the music, because you see that noshim go when they hear the neginas of the chazan and the choir, so the same thing applies to anoshim.
Minyanim that are women's minyan?
Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. Is there hagoyim? You behave the lav. Shall it tema? Eshek derech shagoyim oisim. So it's a lav the rice.
Would you have to make a bracha on a meteor shower?
Having a meteor shower. Where the if one looks in a telescope, or even with their eye, in certain parts of the country last night, they had meteors. They see like shooting stars.
So
he wants to know, do you make a bracha on that?
Sure. What if you have a Yiddish
Rebbe that
is
terminally ill patient who's probably going to die?
Before you said a person shouldn't take morphine, you said, what if a person is, Rahman al-Islam, very sick, and they have a few months to live and they're in a lot of pain, and the morphine helps with the pain? Is you allowed to take
it? Prolong his life.
Well, it may not prolong his life, but at least he won't be suffering for the few months.
Yeah, that's okay.
What
is the love of your mom? Tess, the cotton, the biode, so is myself. Yeah.
What's considered to be a sidur?
Sefer Torah, does it mean a chumash, a Sefer Torah?
Sefer Torah, definitely.
Has to be a Sefer Torah. You say halacha l'maisa, one could rely on it?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
You said in the case of let's say these people, these women are trying to do it just because they want to get closer to Judaism and experience it more.
What? Shabbos, I miss everything. But I can't walk, so I come home.
Yeah.
But when you said about
Kutzel holding the Torah? Adaf Kisavatora. He can hold the Megillah, that is written on cloth, but not the Chumash, that is written on paper or photographed.
So how old does the Kutzel have to be?
How old is the Kutzel? He said when you have 9 in the Kutzel, Mitzdarfin, how old should the Kutzel be?
It depends upon his IQ. There are some Ktanim at 6 who have the IQ of 18, and there are some Ktanim who started who at 12 they have the IQ of 2. These are facts, nothing to have.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to say Kiddush Shabbos morning on a paper cup?
Can you use a paper cup for a Kiddush cup?
Why not?
Even though it's disposable?
It's okay. If you have a silver cup, you should use a silver cup. If you don't have, so use a paper cup.
But isn't there like a halacha that that's...
You have it. If you don't have it, you can use it.
Well, they have it, Michelle. It's not
true. There's nothing you should. If you're stuck, you can do it, yeah.
The
Davin
Mishmar essay, if you know that you're going to use something like Tvila, if you
Davin Mishmar essay... Let's say this man, a person is the... It's almost Shkia. Yeah. So if he davens a long Shemona Esrei, he's going to go past Shkia. So should he better daven...
Bechidus.
Well, let's even say he's davening Bechidus or Minyan, but let's say there's himself Zman Tefillah is coming. So should he go quicker to be before his Zman Tefillah, or daven longer with Kavana and miss the Zman quicker?
Okay. But if someone knew for a fact that someone stole something from him, would he be allowed to go and take it himself?
If you know, if Reuven knows that Shimon took his sefer, can he just go into Shimon's house and take the sefer away?
Should not do it. Ben bag bag emer, al tignei usheroy tiganov, ela echoyz b'shinei leimalei shaliyan inezer. It's not only osa to be a ganov, it's even osa to feign to be a ganov.
The Rambam discusses that it's
also
a picture of Hashem.
Not only it's also of Hashem with his mus, Rahman al Islam, but even an angel. So he's also.
Absolutely. He said, how should one think of Hashem? That's your question?
If it is conducive to Avas Hashem, so then it's okay.
A man who's
here
hayat because it's not really
derech. If it's the derech, so it's not evil on the sumer. But if it's not the derech, it's evil on the sumer. The same thing is true of slacks. If it's the derech for women to wear slacks, so it's not the most needed way, but it's not evil on the love their eyes.
But today, where a lot of men in the
central world. Of course, today it's not shayach to say Yisilbash, because most women, and even Jewish men, and even Orthodox women, do it.
So
you're allowed to? What? I don't approve of it, but Yisilbash have and the Yisilbash of Tznias, but not in the love of the Raisa, he's not high of Malchus.
What would be the your thoughts on wearing a black hat for davening every day?
Well, I'll tell you. I wear a black hat only when I daven mincha and I daven maariv. But shachris I don't wear because I have the talis, and beneath the talis is a yarmulke, a skull cap, so that's just as good as a black hat. But yeshiva bochurim today, I have a different mink.
But I think, was the question the hat or the color of the hat? Okay, yeah.
If you have surgery, if you're bald.
You're bald?
Yeah.
To make hair grow. Can a person have, like, cosmetic surgery if they don't have hair to make hair grow?
Yeah.
Again. Yeah. Emuna? Can a person be Yotzei Avas Hashem if he doesn't have Yediyah, if he just believes but he doesn't have the knowledge?
He's still in the Rambam. In the Lashon HaRambam, he said that here, the Rambam says, can I have a
Rambam? Yeah, Leida.
Leida, she Yeshom, Moshe Lishay, Vumam Tzikon Nimtzo. But Mesiva HaMitzvah, the Rambam says, Shetzivonu Bahamonis Olik. So the kasha is, why there is there? I think there is no there. If a person is in a high madrege, like the Rambam, Rabbi Bechaye, Rav Sadi Goyen, so then he has to understand that there he is. But if he's a Jew, he's a simple Jew, so then he's not on the level to understand the Achidia. So on the contrary, to try to understand the Achidia is even on the love of the Raisi. It's a suru, Achli Bafchem, Vachinechem, Achli Bafchem. So minus, he might get off the Achishor, but so the mitzvah is only the Achamono Pshuto, but if he's a big intellectual, like the Rambam, the Rambam, the Abel, the Rabbi Bechaye, the Kuzari, Rav Sadi Goyen, so then the mitzvah on him is to understand the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Achidia, in order to be able to influence other Jews. What time is it now?
5:07.
Okay.
Two more questions?
So now I would like them to ask questions on the settle of them.
Any questions, Parshas HaShavua? Do you have one more question? Yeah, quick. No, no. Then,
Did Gera be allowed to tell his mother?
What? He wants to know if a Gera, if a Gera is allowed to kiss his mother, hug his mother.
What?
Hug his mother, embrace his mother.
Sure. What's the difference?
A Gera.
It's not, it doesn't depend upon their halachic relationship, but upon their psychological effect. If a Gera, or an adopted child, the same thing, is allowed to embrace and kiss his mother because he doesn't kiss her, he doesn't embrace her in an erotic manner. And even his sister, Aktano, so he is allowed. But sister Hagdilo, the Rambam says, Ha-Menashit, Ha-Chesi Hagdilo, Ha-Fapi, She-Ein, Shom, Ha-Vero, Klal, Ha-Vu, Derach, Tipchus. Yeah. Yeah.
You want questions? Do you want other questions? Or?
Any questions.
Okay, go ahead.
In Shema, in the first paragraph, it said,
because there are two mitzvahs of Avas Hashem. One mitzvah of Avas Hashem is an individual level. One mitzvah of Talmud Torah is an individual level. And then there is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah on a collective level. Suppose certain children, their parents are very poor. They cannot pay tuition fee. So what should they do? So the tzibur is mechuyev to pay their tuition fee, even if it is $10,000 a year or more. So that's why it says the Russian Rabbi.
No, but why in the Haya it does not mention...
So I told you...
No, Decho.
Meidecho, it means the Choma Menchu, no matter how much money it is. Reb Meisher Eichmann can pay for the tuition fee of 100 Jewish children and they will not become poor.
What would be chiyuv, there's a chiyuv of giving tzedakah after collecting profits from stocks?
And then he should give either a fifth like the Rambam, or a sixth, according to Rabbi Yeruchem, and the Ramah in El Cheslulev, Simen, Tofet, and Rav, Paschus, like Ramah.
Is there a chiyuv to do that, or is it
mechatzila? No, it's a chiyuv. But more, it's a mitzvah kiyumis. And according to the Rambam, it's a chiyuv until a fifth, and more, it's a mitzvah kiyumis.
If you have a silver becker and you also have a non-silver becker,
if you have two Kiddush cups, you have one is a silver becker and one is not silver, it's made out of glass but it looks nicer.
No,
is that your question?
It's silver becker.
No.
Beauty is not a subjective thing, it's an objective thing. There are certain diamonds that are fake diamonds but they look so beautiful. Like 24 diamonds, carats.
Let's say you have a neighbor and you went on a long trip and they want to give you a hug. Are you allowed to just stand there while they hug you?
Let's say a neighbor and they come over to you with, you know, one of the boys and they like the boy, so the neighbor comes and gives them a hug when they see them.
So what's wrong with it?
You're not doing anything.
The hug is not in an erotic manner. Mm-hmm. It's like the hug that your father gives to his little girl.
Yeah,
Mitchell. What if you're on Shabbos afternoon, you're davening mincha, after mincha, and
as long as it is within B'nai Moshe, within half an hour, he can wash. But if it's more than half an hour, he cannot wash. Because the chiyuv Abdullah is already chal.
What if there's going to be a shear between mincha and ma'ariv?
So they should leave the shear early. That's all.
Better he should eat, Charles should doesn't go to the shir.
That's right.
Yeah.
According to most shittos who hold that Boni Almoni says
what?
wants to know when the Chazal talk about Ploni, when the Megillah talks about Ploni Almoni.
Then most people say that they talk about him that way because they don't want to embarrass him. The Torah says a lot of bad things about other people.
So that's for a reason, for a definite purpose. The Torah itself is allowed, but not the Jew.
Yeah.
What did Leah do to deserve to have such
a... Sarah. He's wondering why Sarah, what did Sarah do that she deserved to die
because before she heard the good
news. When she heard the bad news.
The Ramban has two cases. First, number one, why did the Rebbeinu have to expose Avraham Avinu to such psychological agony and pain that Avraham Avinu should think that the Rebbeinu Shalom wants to be makriv his own beloved son, Yitzhak HaNakev? Secondly, why did the Rebbeinu Shalom, why is it that when the Rebbeinu Shalom told about Avraham Avinu to be makriv Yitzhak his son, so Avraham Avinu heard the voice of the Rebbeinu Shalom himself, but when it came to Bimenei Amei, Me'akedo. So then the Malach said, now I'll tell you a very nice story. You know, Reb Chaim Volozhiner lifted the ban that the Kroh, his Rabbi Muvek, imposed upon the Balatani. So then the Rovin Chaslavich, I forgot his name, who was Rovin Chaslavich, the Talmud Muvek of the Kroh, wrote a letter to Reb Chaim Volozhiner. How does he have the Azus Dikdushe to impose, to lift a cherem, a ban that the Kroh imposed, and he takes it off? Reb Chaim Volozhiner in his abdomen to suffer the tznuese on the roll and the Kroh spells, so he says, Adeni, Meri, V'Rabbi, HaKrozal, Lohoyo Ish, El Malach Hashem. Reb Chaim Volozhiner answered, to let the Cherem and the Babitzer Hasidim stay after the tragedies of Shabbat Tzvi and Yaakov Frank would be conducive that many false Mashiachim would extend such hashpoye upon ignorant Jews who are desperate that they should convert themselves to Christianity or Mohammedanism, as chapter 3 himself first converted himself to Christianity and then to Mohammedanism. So for that I need the Tzivu Hashem, and so far I didn't hear the Tzivu Hashem. Then I'll tell you another story that a mother Zecharino Broche told me when Rabbi Feinstein was robbed in Prusiny, and then when Napoleon's commander occupied Russia and he occupied Chaslavich, so the soldiers told him that the Lubavitcher, that the Rov in Lubavitcher in Chaslavich is hiding the Balatanya. So he asked, how could he hide the Balatanya? I know that the Grov, the Goen of Vilna, Rabbi Yoel Kramer, so imposed the ban on them. So I said, what should I do? There is an uninterrupted call, a callerly posse. So he came to the house of the Chalal Charov, and the Chalal Charov heard about it, so he dug a tunnel into the basement, and he covered it with the cap, and then when the commander of Napoleon's soldiers came into the house, so he said, I hear you are hiding our enemy. So he said, sir, how could you accuse me as much as you dislike and resent the Balatanya? I dislike him 100 times fold. So he said, what should I do? Okay. So then he came down and he told him, look on the ground floor. He searched, he didn't find him. Then he said, go up to the attic and look there. He searched and he didn't find. So then he said, go to the basement and search. So he said, there's nothing there. So he left. He waited 12 hours, and then he let him, he called him up and he said, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, you are safe already. So then I said, then he said to him, hey, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, you risked your life even though you don't like me. So how could I repay you? So he said, you don't have to repay me a penny, but just bless me that Ad Bias HaMashiach, when the whole city of Chaslavitz consists of Lubavitcher Chassidim, but the Rav should be a Misnagit, who is opposed to Lubavitchite and Kachave. The last Rav in Chaslavitz was my father Zecheinu Livroche, and then there was no other Rav. Okay.
The Rav in Yerushalayim, Avraham Kol Zecheinu Livracha, some of you may have known or heard him. Wonderful person, a person that Kol Roz Le'on Yisrael, Mamash Yinu Kol HaTorah Kulo Bal Peh. And there's a vault in the Sefer, B'Fkodecha Asicha, in which he asks, Poskin Shayo speaks of the wonderful Nevuah of Achis Hayomim, the Gorzeivim Keves, Ramam Dirbots, etc. So he asked, what's the grace of Pella? He says, after all, Noach's Teva. So there's also Zeivim Keves, Nomer, Gedi. So what's the great vision? This will be Vachis Hayomim, something supernatural, as it were. It happened already. And the wonderful answer that he gave, and is so telling in relation to our Mitzvahs in Israel at times, was he said, of course, but at the time of the Teva, the Zeiv and the Keves were there because they shared the common sense of danger by the encompassing waters of the Mabul. Then he said, it's no chochmah for the Zeiv and the Keves to get together. He said, but Lasi Lavoi, when then no dangers will lurk, and then Zeivim Keves, that indeed will be messianic. So we have in Eretz Yisrael kind of interaction based upon danger, not unfortunately fully rooted, to use the Rav's distinction, in a sense of common destiny of Yud, but at least in a sense of a common goal, a joint fate. And that sets certain limits. Thirdly, that is the third aspect of this first element, there is not only shared danger in Eretz Yisrael, but